Welcome back to Creative Control, the Squared Circle, for the final time before our new rebrand. A new era, a new time. WrestleMania XL was so big we had to do a two-part episode to cover it all. In the second of our two-part episode, Creative Control take a look back at night two of WrestleMania 40, reviewing every match and scoring each of them out of 5 stars. I'm your host, Kenan, and welcome back to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. Acknowledge me! Right, night two, World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins versus Drew. I thought this was going to be over within 3 seconds. When Drew hit that claymore, I was like, freaking way. Because I loved it that they did it, because it wouldn't surprise you because of what Seth did. I mean, the fact that he was literally on the last match of the previous night, and then he's on the first match of the next night, the fact that he would have been tired and, you know, he had his crazy entrance with those guys in the outfits, which was mental. But and Drew's entrance, I have to say, was fantastic with all the swords, the Scottish thing, that was fantastic. Bagpipes. But yeah, I really thought, and then, you know, Seth kicked out, but then Drew went to set him up for another one. And I was like, I think he's going to hit two and then take him out. But then obviously the match went on and we got a great match. And, you know, Drew is fantastic at the moment. He's at his peak. The fact that he stopped and tweeted halfway through the match. Amazing. And the fact that it was an actual tweet, I thought he was like taking a selfie, but then he was like at work bored, LOL, something like that. The tweet was just amazing. As soon as I saw it, I posted it in the group and I was like, no, he actually sent the tweet. This is fantastic. And yeah, it was a great match. It was the right outcome. I think, the first part of the match was the right outcome. I did go with Seth just because I thought I was going to do something a little bit different, trying to be creative. But I should have stuck with what I thought it was going to be. But yeah, he delivered and it was a great match. And I love the fact that Seth shouted back at him like, you know, you fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
At the end of the match, he knows that was the right thing to do. But then obviously Drew did what he did afterwards. But we'll talk about the match first. Neil, thoughts on the actual match, Drew versus Seth?
I loved it, but I was royally irritated by the trend that match set for the rest of the night.
Right, okay.
Which was everybody kicking out of every finisher they're given multiple occasions. Right? Yeah. Because I look at it like this, right? More people have kicked out of the Claymore than people who have kicked out of the End of Days.
Mm-hmm. Well, only one person kicked out the End of Days, which is Drew McIntyre, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Exactly. And when you think about that, right, you're like, Drew McIntyre is a 3-time world champion.
Mm-hmm.
He has been the champion of his brand 3 separate times.
Mm-hmm.
And more people have kicked out of Baron Corbin's move, who has never, other than the NXT championship, he has not held a world title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does deserve a better protective finish, I would say, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, and it was just like the whole night people were just kicking out of finishes over and over and over again. And I don't mind you kicking out once. Kicking out twice, it's WrestleMania. Do it.
Mm. We even had a kick out of the RKO in that match as well.
Yeah, but I'm like, really kicked out because I'm like, you think he kicked out of the initial Claymore.
Yeah.
Then he kicked out of the one mid-match.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm pretty sure there was more than 3 claymores.
I think it was, I think there was. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah, the one. Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, that's too many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he kicked out of a curb stomp as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Multiple. So
there's
he kicked ones. Out of, he had the claymore, he had the stomp on the table, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he got stomped on the table and immediately rolled into the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I can understand that.
So that kind of like frustrated me. But other than that, the match was brilliant. I still hate CM Punk. Well, hate is a strong word, but I'm still not a fan of him. Mm. And when he was there, when Drew was there and he was like saying whatever he was saying, and CM Punk's like, oh, I can't hear you, I've got headphones on. I'm like, shut up. I've had years of commentators clearly being able to hear what a wrestler is saying to them through them big ass headphones. You, the one time you're sitting there, you can't hear nobody. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, it's as soon as Punk came out with the brace on over his jacket, I said, I texted, I was like, that brace is coming off 100%. Nick, what were your thoughts and scores for the match?
I'm going to go 4 again. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed the match. I thought it was absolutely spot on. I think it, again, set the tone completely for night 2. But in a positive way, I thought. Yeah. I thought it was dead exciting. So much going on. I get what you're saying, Neil, with all the kickouts. But at the same time, I think it added to the anything can happen and it's not over till it's over. And I enjoyed the cash-in at the end. And I think it got me. It completely shocked me. And I think the biggest thing about it is this match has completely set the pieces for the storyline where it's going to go for like the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. Drew was never supposed, I know he obviously got the win because I'm having that point, but I know he got the win because he needed it, but it needed to be taken off him because he needs to get that belt at Clash at the Castle. That's
why I went with Seth, because when I found out that Crash of the Castle was going to be in Scotland, I was like, okay, I can see Seth taking this here and then Drew getting the belt, because I thought maybe Priest might cash in then on Seth. So Seth does all the hard work, you know, loses night 1, but redeems himself night 2, beats Drew, but then loses it to Priest, and then for Drew McIntyre to get a Clash in the Castle. But I think it all depends on how quickly CM Punk is fit. I don't know how fit and when he's going to be coming back, because obviously he's still picking up on the fact that Punk has cost him the title.
I think that'll be SummerSlam then. Yeah.
So yeah, you can see that happening for SummerSlam. And then obviously he was in the number one contender match at Raw, but we'll touch on that as well. So yeah, the cash in was we all thought it was going to happen in this match, but I think we all predicted it was going to be unsuccessful.
I thought that's how
we felt. So, but they've pulled that trigger on him, and we have a new champion. So, Rax, what did you think of the match and the score?
I gave it a 4 out of 5. I loved it. I mean, and I get, again, you know, I agree with what Neil's saying and stuff like that, but I also agree with what Nick's saying. Obviously, it does add to the excitement to the story as well. So, I mean, I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. All that. I mean, there was a lot of spots I enjoyed, obviously with him with the Twitter thing when he just went on a live Twitter, you know, post. And that was his wife, right? But do you know what? I was really surprisingly, like, I found CM Punk really tame on commentary. Like,
Snoop Dogg was better.
I was saying in the group, like, you know, I hope they hire him at some point. Honestly, he's so good at commentary. But CM Punk was like really tame, and I've noticed that before from Punk, which is a really weird thing, because I've seen him do commentary spots before, and he just seems like a completely different person.
I think he's maybe just being a little bit careful with WWE because he knows he got nowhere else to go after this. So maybe
even before. Yeah, possibly, but I mean, I noticed this even before he left WWE. He did a thing where he was like commentating for like some spot thing, and it was so tame. But I actually think that I was really happy that Drew won. I think he's the best he's ever been at this point. I think he works so much better as a heel than he is as a face. As a face, boring. I thought he was quite boring, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with him in the ring, just the character himself, and all that. But I mean, I'm hoping where I can kind of see, I mean, because it's been such a nice, huge build up with him and CM Punk. I actually could think that it could be feud of the year, to be honest with you. CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. It's been pretty much gold. So for like you guys, I was not expecting a cash in from Damian Priest, but that spot took ages for something to happen. Do you know what I mean? He was just sitting there squatting on the desk, just kind of rubbing it in his face a bit too long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, you know, I thought it was going to be a case of like what you said, that he's going to, that CM Punk's going to take his brace off and whatnot, mm-hmm. and then just probably start going ham on him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just turns out it's just obviously for Damian Priest to cash in his thing. And I actually felt gutted that he actually lost it that night. Yeah.
5 minutes and 40 seconds, I think it was, he said.
Yeah, 5 minutes 40. Yeah, no, I mean, I like, the match was entertaining. I thought it was really good. And I think Seth away for a while as well?
Yeah, Seth's been gone for at least four weeks, they've said.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's a great match. Great.
I think
they
dragged that bit out just so he didn't have the shortest title reign, because if he didn't spend as long celebrating, then it would have been worse. Mm-hmm. I think they just allowed him to celebrate that little bit longer, just around that 5 minute mark, just to push the length of that little title reign. So rather than him just
being like, hit that top 10 list.
Yeah, exactly. Alex, what were your thoughts?
Well, Seth and Drew are my two favorite guys, so it was a dream match for me, because I love both those guys. I think as performers, as physical specimens, as characters, they just hit the nail perfectly on the head every single time. What I also liked was their that match was like both of their matches with Brock Lesnar. Yes. Where it was just them laying out the power moves all the time to take down the big guy. And that's kind of the way it was. And I thought it was going to go, as soon as he hit that first claymore, I thought, oh, what a great way to just do it this way. Mm-hmm. But then to see the match build was great. There were slightly too many finishes for me, but it did work within the pattern of the story. Like Neil, I'm not a CM Punk guy. I wasn't watching WWE when CM Punk was around, all I've ever heard is he causes problems. He's like the Fernando Alonso of professional wrestling. And you know, he's as great as he tells you he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Which kind of goes through it. I've never really seen him do a proper match because he came back, did Royal Rumble, got hurt. So with his frail old body that Drew McIntyre keeps breaking. And I thought the cash-in was right. Everyone's been having a go at the way they've done the Money in the Bank. But I actually think it's been the same as a lot of the longer runs of Money in the Bank. Yeah. You know, you think about cashing it in, but then you don't, you go against it, blah, blah, blah. And then you cash it in at an opportune moment. It was the perfect moment to cash in and get it successful. It very easily could have been a wasted Money in the Bank, but he can now have a good 90 days, maybe up until Clash of the Castle with the title. That's a decent title run in anyone's books. You know, he can have a bit like how Seth has treated that title, where he's done matches on Raw and things like that. It can be that workhorse title still with someone like Damian, because he's good enough to pull that off. Win a few matches against a whole bunch of people, you know, he'll have Jay to contend with, but he could he could have title matches up until Clash of the Castle with anyone who was in that match. Yes, he can have it with Ricochet. He can have it with Bronson Reed, and then Drew McIntyre at Clash of the Castle, where he'll lose it, and then CM Punk turns up, and we go until is when is Clash of the Castle?
June 15th.
So yeah, then SummerSlam straight after, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's your program.
Yeah.
Triple H, sign me up.
Yeah, Damian Priest, you know, I think initially he had so many of those attempted, it was a little bit like, this is getting a bit tedious, but then it did go on a little bit of a hiatus, you know, because they were tag champs and, you know, the focus was kind of pulled away from it. But yeah, it was absolutely the right time to do it. And, you know, it's good to have a new champion, and I wouldn't be against having some more title swaps, you know, as opposed to having these long title reigns now. So, you know, a good 3-4 months between, you know, being champion is absolutely fine. You know, we don't need year long champions anymore.
I think we're going to get that with that title. I think I can see the next three or four champions over a very short period of time.
Yeah, I would agree. So I only got a 0.5 because I had a Punk distraction, but it wasn't necessarily in the match itself. It was the end. So I've only given myself half a mark, and I gave Neil a half a mark for that as well. But he had Drew in pinfall You all had Drew and Pinfall. I was the only one who went for Seth to try and be different. So that's stupid. But there we go.
Did I say that the cash-in would be successful? I know I didn't get the cash-in on the person, right?
No, I don't have anything down for anything certified with a cash-in. Nick said Damian Priest cash-in. He was the only one who actually, and Ryan put a cash-in.
Yeah,
but none of us actually highlighted the cash-in. So, yeah.
I think I had Drew, Penn, and Damian, didn't I?
If Seth won, there would be a successful cash-in on Seth if he won.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So, Nick said Damian Priest cash-in, but he didn't say...
He didn't put down
win or loss. It was just the cash-in was going to happen. So, yeah. Then we had the Philadelphia Street Fight, the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. Again, this match just kind of happened. I didn't expect that finish. So I expected Cross and the Final Testament to win. I don't think it was the right booking decision. It seemed weird to put those guys over. But the feud's done. And obviously we've seen that these guys... So the Street Prof... Sorry. The Final Testament now appeared on NXT, and they've gone back over there now. So that's why they did what they did there. So fair enough. But I think I put a 2 down for this match. Didn't do anything for me. Didn't really care. So yeah, 2 out of 5 for me. Nick, your thoughts?
I quite enjoyed this match, but I think it's because I had really low expectations. This was like this was the toilet break, go and make yourself a cup of tea, maybe walk the dog sort of match for me. This was just not going anywhere, and it was going that way until they announced Bubba Ray Dudley as the guest referee, and then I thought, now it's more interesting. And then the glasses, get the tables, the wazah thing, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it every single one just added half a point from that too.
Yeah, they had the table break, didn't they? And they had to redo that spot.
That was a bit unfortunate. The biggest surprise was, I said, the fact that Final Testament lost, because I was like, I thought the 100% Karrion Kross needs this win, but I gave it a 3. Yeah, okay. 3. I thought it was a decent match, but again, purely because of all the spots and all the added bits, Snoop Dogg, all that sort of stuff. It's purely down to that.
Yeah, fine. There was actually a lot of Kenya stick smashes on this one.
There was
quite some brutal ones. Yeah, Rex, what do you think?
It was a fun match. I wasn't really expecting much. I wasn't really looking forward to it, to be honest with you, as much. I think the street fight would have been probably better with Jay and Jimmy, but that's neither here nor there anyway.
Yeah,
but
that's why I thought the street fight would happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was okay. I mean, I think there was like a spot where I think B-Fab came in and did that dirty drop on Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett.
That would have been much more entertaining.
She just did that dirty kick on her face. It was an all right match. It was okay. I mean, I was happy to see Bubba Ray there. I don't know if you guys noticed when they were doing the what's up spot and like they're holding his legs up and he just kind of went like further. That was great. It's a Philly crowd, so he's from Philly. So it was a nice little, it was just a nice little cameo, I guess. It was just a fun little match. I just kind of feel like I'm not a big Karrion Kross fan anyway, but I just feel like he's not catching a break anyway. He's going.
No, it's very strange. Yeah.
It was okay. Probably a 2, to be honest.
Fine. Alex, what were your thoughts?
Nostalgia, madness, and fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm all here for nostalgia, madness, and fun. Bubba Ray is my generation of WWE, absolutely love seeing him. And to be fair, the second they announced him, I was like, oh, okay, the good guys are going to win. Because that's just the way it's going to be. Even though I've always thought that Bobby Lashley with the Street Profits thing is weird, I want the Street Profits to go back to just what the Street Profits were, because I much preferred the Street Profits that way. They don't need the edge. I think they're just a great face tag team. And people talk about splitting them up and Montez going on his own. I don't want that. I love them as the Street Profits,
right,
with the cups and all that kind of stuff. So I really enjoyed the match. It was good fun. I thought Snoop Dogg was awful. I even watched it twice and he just drove me nuts. It's like, because he was talking over Corey and Michael and Pat. And I mean, Pat's mental enough on the mic as it is.
Yes.
But yeah, Snoop was just all over the place. And then obviously all the talking about going back to the green room afterwards was also was fun. But yeah, so just mentalness, I give it a three it just made me feel good. So
yeah, no, that's what you want from these things. Neil, coming to you, thoughts and score.
The match was better than I expected, better than I thought it would be. So that's all I can really give it. I mean, I would say it was a three for me.
Okay.
One thing I really did like was Karrion Kross getting in Bubba's face and then easing back as soon as them glasses went on.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. Absolutely. But yeah, in terms of the predictions, nil pois across the board. Nobody got anything right in this one. So yeah. Then we had LA Knight and AJ Styles. This was quite predictable in that sense. We all went for LA Knight, all via pinfall. Clean sweep across the board for everyone. Was there anything surprising for this match with anyone? Did it deliver anything more? I think I may have tuned out a little bit on this match when I think back of it, because maybe I was getting a little bit tired at that point by the second night. But yeah, I think I rated it 3.5. But thoughts, Alex?
I went and rewatched it because, again, I was just like, I can't remember what happened was, and that's why I went back to the whole thing about with regards to the Jay match, the Jay and Jimmy match. Was this was just two people who had a massive feud, who really hate each other, beating the living daylights out of each other.
Yes.
We saw them pulling up the mats outside, which is a spot I haven't seen in years, which I really, really liked. I originally thought actually it might be AJ, as in he'd get a screw win just to try and carry the, because there's probably more to do with this story because of all the bloodline stuff that's been going on. This story's been a little bit of an afterthought when you've got two properly charismatic guys who are both mega on the mic, who are even especially when you're talking about AJ Styles as one of the best in the ring of all time. I think there's more they could do with this story because it's just been under the radar and they can now bring it to the forefront because the bloodline thing's not there as much anymore. So for me, it gets a 3.5 only because I actually would have liked to see this story, see what more they could do with the story, but if they've got anything more.
Okay, cool. Neil?
The match gets a 3 for me. There was nothing really... AJ Styles is phenomenal, no pun intended. And I would like to see, as I know this is his final run with the company or run in wrestling, I would like to see
to retirement. Him
doing more than getting over new talent.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do a tag run with somebody.
I know that obviously AJ Styles is I get it. He is like he's at the end of his career. I just want to see him win a world title one more time.
One more. Yeah. I think that would be a nice run. Yeah, I could see that. But having him lose, you'd think the next step would be for LA Knight to go for a title push again, right? And so it maybe puts him on the back burner a little bit. But maybe, you know, after SummerSlam, it might be something that AJ can get involved in. Nick, thoughts?
3. It's what it just was there. It was another one that was just there. It felt like another one of the matches where it's like, we've got LA Knight, this massive rising star. We need to find him something to do at WrestleMania. We've got AJ, this legendary star. We need to find him something to do at WrestleMania. Let's just smash them together. And just, it's literally just like getting two action figures that you've got left over and just banging them together in the ring. And that's what it was. And it wasn't bad. It had some really good spots, but it was just, it was a bit boring from a storyline perspective. Don't get me wrong, I love watching the wrestling, I love the actual matches, I love, you know, when they get these, you know, massive spots and things like that, but it was just there and I need a little bit more story to it, and it just felt a bit hodgepodge.
Okay, cool.
Also, Rex, can I point out one thing before we meet? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rex, right? Is why does everyone know where AJ Styles lives?
Yeah. Right? Worst kept secret.
Yeah, like when Samoa Joe came to his house, I was like, ah, it's all right. They were a TNA together. They are actual longtime friends. And they're both in WWE. It makes sense. But it's AJ Styles just rocking up to his yard.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Rax, what are your thoughts and score for the match?
Three. Mm-hmm. Again, like, I'm not a unpopular opinion. I'm not, like, the hugest LA Knight fan. You know what? I liked him as a heel. Mm-hmm. I think his heel work in NXT was great. And then when he came to the main roster, I think he just, I don't know, just sort of the novelty sort of wore off, because I think me and Neil were having this conversation where we said that his personality just does not match his wrestling style.
No.
And it's just kind of like, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm just not on board with it. So, with this one, I sort of dipped in and out of it. Mm-hmm. I wanted AJ to win because I'm an AJ fan, but I knew it ain't going to happen. It was definitely not going to happen. But I will say the only, like, even the rivalry out of it, it was just it's a story that's, you know, it's just a boring one, honestly. Nothing really that really stands out. And to be honest with you, really, it was, I mean, they're making out AJ to be the bad guy here, but wasn't LA Knight the one that screwed him first? Like,
yeah, that's his claim, isn't he? What, did he screw him over? Or no, he just took
his spot because he was injured. No,
because I swear there was like a match on SmackDown or something like that, and then he was really heavily involved in like interrupting in that match. I don't know if I'm remembering it wrong.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. Yeah.
AJ flew halfway across the world to screw LA Knight.
That's how you know you upset someone. They'll fly halfway around the world to come deal with you. You earn that one.
Fair enough. But I mean, like, the only thing I've liked from the rivalry, I guess, is like, you know, the thing where like AJ is like losing his mind in the ring on SmackDown, and he's just like suspecting everyone as being LA Knight, and it turns out he's a security guy, which is not like the best kept disguise in the world. But I mean, it just had a very Austin sort of like,
yeah, because he was the cameraman, wasn't he?
It was. It just had that attitude era, sort of Austin sort of feel to it. That was the only thing I took away from it. But apart from that, the match was there. You know, I don't know. Throw away.
Okay. Next up, we had the United States Championship, Logan Paul, Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. This was a really weird dynamic for me because I appreciated the fact that Kevin and Randy were getting on, like, in respect to each other. They played that out into the match. Obviously, Kevin went down to the ramp. He went back and picked Randy up and brought him back down. That was quite a cool entrance. That was really great. Randy was the first one to kind of show that turn. That's like, I've got to do what I got to do. But it did feel like a 2-on-1. And I guess that was kind of the point of the narrative they were trying to show, and that, you know, Logan Paul could still come out of that match out on top, even though it felt more like a 2-on-1. But I don't know, I just, because of that dynamic between the two of them, I just don't think it created any aspect of where you thought Kevin Owens or Randy Orton would win. So it was always going to be Logan Paul for me walking out of this, and especially where SummerSlam is going to be headed and where we think it's going to be. So as much as the match itself, I thought was quite good. There were some nice spots in it. There were some nice moments. But yeah, the build up, just this whole 2-on-1 thing, just didn't quite work for me. I didn't gain that much interest in it. So, Neil, what are your thoughts on the match?
Oh, this match was just not... For the talent involved, this wouldn't have been a main event on a SmackDown show.
Ooh.
I'm call a spade a spade. This would have been like the second to last match on a regular SmackDown. It wasn't for the talent you had, it didn't deliver. You know, having that flipping idiot, what's his name? I am Speed.
I show Speed.
Bro, you are named after a drug. Sit down.
Yeah, I think Randy was actually really pissed off with him, because when he kicked him, I thought that's a solid kick. Just didn't seem, he's known to certain factions. I don't know. I couldn't care for him. I know he just screams at things on YouTube and stuff like that. But
isn't he the idiot who had like, he set off like a Pokemon firework in his house and was screaming his head off?
And I think it might be him. And there became this like Ronaldo obsessed, and he kept chasing, trying to see Ronaldo going to games, and then Ronaldo wasn't playing. And yeah, he has his thing. To be fair, he has his followers, but yeah, just it's not for, he's not for us. It's not our generation. Nick, what did you think?
3.5. I enjoyed it, but again, it's another one of those ones where it did what I thought it was going to do. There weren't any big surprises. Bit too gimmicky with that kid in the prime bottle. Prime suit. Again, been done already with KSI. Yeah. It's it was good, but it was a bit predictable.
Yeah,
some good spots though. Like the RKO on the table. Did he RKO him? Yeah, he RKO'd the dude in the prime bottle. Yeah, that was quite entertaining. When he barked at him a couple of times first, I quite like that. And to be fair to Logan Paul, again, that huge frog splash off the top rope. He went about 20 foot in the air. Got to give him his dues. Like he's good at this. I can't stand him, but he's good at this.
He is very good at it. Yeah, he is built for this business, absolutely. Yeah. And big props to Logan Paul. I think for someone, I know he's had a bit of like amateur background experience with wrestling and stuff like that, but the way he's taken to this, and you know, he is confident on the mic, but again, when you do a podcast and you know his YouTube channel for so many years, you will generate that kind of confidence. But it's next level with him. It's just like fish to water. Big props to him. Rax, what did you think?
I mean, decent match. It did what it had to do. I just wasn't. Yeah, like again, you know, like the build up for this was really not my kind of thing. I always kind of thought it should have been just like a 1-on-1 kind of thing with a stipulation, maybe. Mm-hmm. With Kevin Owens. I mean, I guess they had to put Randy Orton in something. You can't have wrestling without Randy Orton, I guess. I do probably see like maybe Randy Orton and KO being a tag team maybe afterwards as well. Because I mean, it's kind of in the name RKO, so it's kind of like... apart from that, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I thought Logan Paul was great. Like, he's got some good spots in there. And you know what? Like, I've always noticed this, but Kevin Owens has the best WrestleMania t-shirts ever. Every time he's in a WrestleMania, it's always like, but it's always signifying what WrestleMania is at right now, right? I guess, right? So it would have been his eighth WrestleMania, which is mad.
Sammy was there to, you know, cheer him on as he went out. Yeah. So he had a decent entrance. But definitely a big shout out.
Decent match. 3 out of 10. I'm sorry, 3 out of 5. Sorry.
3 out of 5. Alex, your thoughts?
I think you lot must have been getting really tired and grumpy because I thought that was brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed myself during that match because the chemistry between KO and Randy is brilliant. The whole fact that you can just imagine they had a conversation before the match to go, right, let's go and beat Logan up for a bit. And once we finish beating Logan up, then we can beat each other up. And then Randy did the Randy thing and tried to jump the gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, should we do this now then? Okay, let's do this now. Then they start beating each other up, which I just think was perfect. You were always going to have the prime thing because of the sponsorship and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love Logan Paul. Before he came on, I was like this bloody social media person. I had no idea who he was on YouTube. They tried to make him a face originally when he first came. And I'm like, that doesn't work because nobody likes him. For whatever reason, I had no views on him otherwise. Apart from
there are several reasons.
apart from his brother, but as you guys have all said, he's built for this business in every way, shape, or form. He is a brilliant heel, and he won in a heel way, which was Randy Orton did the RKO, that brilliant pop up powerbomb into RKO, which was again Randy is 700 years old and he managed to pull that off. I'm well impressed.
Yeah.
And then he lobbed Randy out the ring, jumped up, did his finisher and finished it off. So it's another heel way to win that wasn't just using the brass knuckles, which is great. There's also quite a few kicking out of finishers in this match as well.
Randy kicked out
getting punched in the head with brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think he needs to ditch the brass knuckles now and move on to something else. That's scary.
Which is why I like the way this one finished. So this one gets a 4 out of 5 for me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great fun. But I watched this in the morning after I'd had sleep, and I just
well, maybe that makes a difference. Yeah,
that's cheating.
Yeah, so I gave that one a 3.5. In terms of the scores, we all had Logan to win. Myself and Neil had Logan to pin KO as well as Rax. Nick went for Randy, and so no points there. And I had outside interference for Logan, so I had a 0.5 because it wasn't KSI. Neil got a point. I could give him the one there. I'll see, because you had Logan introduces brass knuckles, but then you had KO hits Orton. So I give you a 0.5 because of introducing the brass knuckles. Mm-hmm. So rather than one. Rax just said Logan introducing brass knuckles, so he got a 1. Nick thought that A-Town Down Under might come out and interfere or get involved and maybe set up that tag feud, which I think would have worked because the amount they played into that, but that didn't happen. But I can see potentially Randy and KO maybe going off to the tag titles with those two next. That kind of makes a lot of sense. Okay, so 2 matches left. We have the Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Bayley. We all had Bayley to win. We all had it via pinfall.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Nick didn't get his wibbly wobblies. He didn't get the bobble.
1 out of 5. 1 out of 5.
Yeah. No Kabuki Warriors interference. There's no Jay Cargill or Naomi or Bianca coming down. There was no stare down with Bianca. So it was just quite a straightforward match, which I think none of us are expecting. But it was a good match. I think the storytelling in the match was really good. There's some really nice spots. The right outcome, strong win. So I'm a happy guy. I think I might have given this one a 4. I gave it a 4. I thought it was a really enjoyable match and really solid. So, Alex, what were your thoughts?
Again, really solid match. Really enjoyed it. I'd probably give it a 3.8. The best spot of the match was Io somehow getting out of the rose plant. I don't understand how she did that.
That backflip.
That was incredible.
That
flip,
yes. That was brilliant.
But you can see she was proud of herself that it landed. You can see that.
Yeah, she got up and was like, yes, I hit that.
they definitely practiced that one. It was just a nice match. It was a great match by two great professional wrestlers who put a really good match together for the outcome that everybody wanted.
I agree. I think it was better for not having any interference. I think it made for a better match.
Definitely.
So, Neil, thoughts?
Wholeheartedly agree. I give that match a 4. I think I'm trying to think. Did I have a moment of like, that could have been better? No, I don't think I don't think it was. I think it was all perfectly planned out. I think the only thing that annoyed me was quite early into the match. They were outside the ring and Io went to jump on Bayley from like the barricade and Bayley caught her and gave her a Bayley to belly.
Yeah.
Right. And the commentary team was just like, oh, Bayley with a great move. And I'm like, that was her original finisher. How do you not know this?
Yes. Yeah, she needs a better finisher. That's for sure. I think she needs a stronger finisher, Bayley. Nick, what were your thoughts on score?
3.5, solid match. I think at the time I wanted more to it. I wanted more some sort of like interference. I wanted that. Still don't forgive the no bubbles or anything like that. The more you think about it, it didn't need it. It would have cheaped. Let me clarify. The bobbles and the wibbly wobbly men would not have cheapened it. No, that would have been perfection. The interference from Damage Control and Bianca and Jade and all that sort of stuff. Looking back, that would have cheapened it. Now it needed to just be a nice, clean match. It needed to be Bayley doing this on her own, and she did it. And it was a solid match all the way through. But 3.5.
Cool. All right, Rax, thoughts and score?
I'll say a 3. I mean, it was a good, fun match. I enjoyed it. I was rooting for Bayley from the start, to be honest with you. So, got the result I wanted. I'm just kind of like hoping to see what's gonna come forward with it. But the match itself was a great, solid match. I don't remember a lot of spots I can think of off the top of my head that wowed me as such and all that. But yeah, I mean, it was a good, fine match. I mean, I don't think I remember much from it, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, you got to remember, man, I was, like, dipping in and out, like, sleep-wise. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
You were dozing at points, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm a dozer, man, honestly.
He is a dozer. Okay, so, main event, WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Well, this was just cinema, right? Yeah. Round of applause. It was, it had us all on the edge of our seats, let's face it. From the, between the two of them and... You know, then obviously you have the solo interference. I expect to see him a lot more this WrestleMania than we did. I'm glad we didn't. But, you know, he come in. Spike, I thought Roman was going to spear him at one point when he was holding Cody. But, you know, that didn't happen and he went down. He kicked out, showing that resilience again. Then we have John Cena coming down, which that, you know, the storytelling, you know, him and Solo fought. Continued that story. Had the beef there. It absolutely made sense. It wasn't just random. He came down. The Rock comes out. Great. You know, Rock and Cena have that rivalry. And the fact that when they met and they did the turning to the crowd, I saw someone on TikTok today. They merged it with the first match they had at WrestleMania with this one. And it's almost identical. And you can see like the young and old versions of them doing it. And it was brilliant. I thought there might be a little bit more to a feud between them, but The Rock was just like, I'm final boss. You're going down, rock bottom. Cena's out. And then that when that Shield music hit, we all thought Dean Ambrose, right?
100%. Yeah.
Say you didn't, you're definitely.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that it took so long.
It can't be.
Yeah. It seemed to make sense. And it's like, if he comes out, then maybe him and Seth will both come out. But nothing was happening. And then Roman jumps in the ring, like, what's going on? Superman punch takes Seth out. And he's in his Shield gear.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes sense because, you know, when he spoke to Cody, he was like, you know, I can be your Shield. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, so he had to come back in that persona. And
but he didn't do anything.
No, but he took, so, but what he did
was, he was the
Shield because he distracted Roman enough from hitting Cody with the chair for him to take that chair shot. And there's a beautiful picture of that moment, actually, where they've taken a steel caption and you can just see Seth like this with the chair in the back and Roman's
hair
face.
In the
like,
air and everything.
Yeah, and it was just this brilliant picture from it. And yeah, it just, Roman was like, never forgiven you for that, and it just fed into that storyline. And then, you know, Undertaker, no one had Undertaker on their card, no one expected him to pop on this. Obviously I had Stone Cold down, and if anybody, Cena and Stone Cold, everyone had that down. Undertaker coming out and, you know, giving that chokeslam to The Rock and then making The Rock disappear. That's what it was. It wasn't just he just like left him in the ring and just, he took him with him. He's like, nah, you're out the ring, which was just absolutely crazy. And I think the timing of everything was brilliant. And the, you know, then Cody finally getting the ring, you know, I know Cena gave Roman an attitude adjustment, but it was long before Cody did the pinfall and stuff like that. And I just think that it was a fairly clean win and it was the right result, but it was just the way it was executed. And I just thought they delivered a brilliant match. And for me, it had me on the edge of my seat. It's a 5-star match. It just delivered for me. There's nothing that I would change about that match, to be honest. It hit everything that I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So, Neil, give me your thoughts and score.
I loved almost everything about the match.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like The Undertaker being the one to come out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The reason being, every single solitary person involved in that match,
mm-hmm.
it's long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Except The Undertaker.
Unless you argue the fact that he came out because of Roman Reigns beating him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but he didn't attack Roman. He attacked The Rock. So it's like Cena came out and dealt with Solo. Jay came out and dealt with Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention Jay and Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
It was like everyone who came out took out or went after the person they had their rivalry with. Even when Seth came out, he didn't do anything, but he provided that distraction. And I love the fact when everybody realized, and it was like, it's 10 years since the Shield broke up. And Roman was like, 10 years later, when I have the opportunity to win my match or hit you with this chair. And I'm like, damn the match. You know? Yeah. I'm like, what? Chef's kiss. And then it was the Undertaker who came out. And I'm like, this match would have been a 6.5 out of 5 if the glass broke and it was Stone Cold walking down the ramp. Because then it would be like the long-term story. It, the only other person it could have been except for Stone Cold would have been Triple H. But obviously we know he can't get in physical, right? So it would have to be Austin, the person who The Rock is synonymous with Austin. The Rock is synonymous with Austin at WrestleMania. It had to be Austin. And the fact it was The Undertaker, I get everybody loved that pop when you heard the gong go off and the lights went out. And then I get the amazingness. But for me, when that happened, when that gong went off, I was just like, ah.
Okay, interesting. I don't know if it's because, you know, who knows why Stone Cold couldn't appear. I don't know if they just couldn't make an agreement or whether they just, you know, it's not about being too obvious because everything else kind of played into it.
His own, like, agenda, or he owned, not agenda, but he had his own commitments that he couldn't break.
Yeah.
So it's not that, but it's just the fact that The Undertaker didn't make sense. You could have found someone and it would have made sense, or done something in a way to make it make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of necessarily. To me, Stone Cold coming out or Undertaker doesn't make any sense in terms of the bloodline or The Rock, anything in particular. I mean, if anything, other than Undertaker's kind of was the final boss of the locker room. Do you know what I mean? He was the guy that everyone kind of looked up to, and maybe he just thought, Rock's throwing his weight around too much. I don't like what Rock is doing. And you could kind of feed into that narrative. You know, he's Mr. WrestleMania from the point of view that, you know, he had the longest streak in WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania 40, you know, and that recognition. And he's like, you're not going to take that spot away from this guy who's up and coming. There's different ways you can kind of read into it. But yes, I think Stone Cold, that pop and the glass, it kind of would have made sense from a crowd point of view. But from a story, it doesn't necessarily make any much more sense than The Undertaker, in my opinion.
I think it's just the fact that he has such a history with The Rock at WrestleMania. It makes it makes more sense. The only other thing is, when you think about it, The Undertaker is probably the only person who has been battling the bloodline his whole career. Because he dealt with Yokozuna. Yeah. He dealt with Rikishi. He dealt with Roman Reigns. He dealt with The Rock. Right, he has had matches against, he probably had more matches against bloodline members than any other person.
Yes, good shout. Yeah, Nick, what were your thoughts?
Neil is reading from my script. I think the exact same thing as exactly the same. Literally, it was perfect storytelling, long-term storytelling, which is what Roman's been telling us for the past 3 years. He's like, it's not TikTok generation anymore. We are going for long-term storytelling. But we thought it was over the last 3 years, not the last 10. So I love that. But yeah, the only thing that felt out of place to me was Taker. I forgive it because it's The Undertaker and it's brilliant having him pop up, but it did just feel a little bit out of place. The only other thing I'd say as well is it all kicked off in the second half of the match, clearly. It's when Jay came out, Jimmy and all that sort of stuff, and that's when all the exciting things happened. But I really appreciate that they gave us the first half of the match, Roman and Cody going at each other. Because it would have been so easy just to be, let's throw all this nostalgia in, let's throw out in all the storylines
after like 5-10 minutes
and go too early with it. I appreciate just those two doing what they are paid to do and wrestle and put on a fantastic show between them. And then we got a good couple of minutes at the end where it was just a clean win by Cody, clearly. But I really appreciated just that time to watch those two wrestle. Not The Rock stepping in 30 seconds into the match. I half expected The Rock to come down with Roman and it just be not in a purely in a negative way, and it just be look like a 2-on-1 through the whole match. But I like the fact that we've just got that 1-on-1 battle from the two of them. Yeah, but I'd give it a 5. Literally, I think it's absolutely spot on.
Okay, good Cool. Alex, sorry, Dale. Thoughts?
Cinematic brilliance, and I loved it. However, I do agree with Neil and Nick. I have been wanting it to be Stone Cold.
Oh,
for weeks and weeks. There's a person who's been posting videos on TikTok about how Stone Cold's going to be there, and I bought it.
I did, yeah, because he looks in phenomenal shape. It looked like he was getting ready to make an appearance.
Why would you be getting as fit at this point? And he's not doing anything. He's on his farm all day long. He's not doing anything. He just didn't want to go. And the pause was so perfect for the glass to break.
Yeah.
And listen, when the gong went off, I popped. But I popped and went, yeah. Oh, that means no Stone Cold. And that for me makes it a 4.8, not a 5.
Right.
Okay. Because 15-year-old me wanted Stone Cold.
Yeah.
No, I can get 15-year-old me didn't get Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forgive him for that. Other than that, everything else was brilliant. Mm-hmm. The spot off the stage with Jimmy and Jay was
phenomenal. How wasn't that in their match? Do you know what I mean? It was like...
Exactly that. The position and the positioning as well. I mean, just as far as a staging thing goes, to get that spot on was awesome. Mm-hmm. John Cena's pops are always insane. I can't. That man is just brilliant. I love John Cena. The solo thing. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have done the spike and spear. No one should be kicking out. No one should be kicking out the spike and spear.
Yeah, yeah.
No way. So I was expecting someone's music to hit when that happened, not after it. Other than that, absolute brilliant storytelling, exactly how the story should ended. And then you had everything else afterwards with Brandy coming. Oh, hang on, Samantha Irvin. I mean, we didn't mention this from Sami Zayn either.
Amazing.
Yes.
The amount of abuse this woman has got online for breaking down. I mean, she was emotional. She is
absolute... everybody was cheering her.
There's still lots of dickheads out there who just think she should be completely professional.
Oh, she's not being professional enough because she's breaking her voice. And it's like, this is what we want. I want to hear that. I don't want to just see it just be a mundane thing. So I'd have been the same. The winner. Listen, it's just,
When I heard that voice break, when she was like,
"The
winner," when she just went, "The winner of this match," and I could hear the emotion in her voice, I was like, "WWE, you're not gonna get better. You've reached the peak. You've reached the plateau. Yeah. You're done. Everything now is gonna be downhill because from the fact that the announcer." Is breaking down because I saw, and this I gotta give him credit for. Logan Paul was up in the stands watching, and
he popped massive down.
He was crying, right?
He's a fan.
Martha Irvin was crying, and I'm like, what did I say a couple weeks ago? I said, after watching the Dusty Rhodes documentary, I said, when Cody wins, there ain't gonna be a dry eye in the house, and look how many people was crying.
Yeah, I expected Cody to be crying a lot more, but he wasn't. He kind of held it together. Somebody else I want to give a shout out to, Michael Cole.
Oh, yeah.
He's so good.
Is he the greatest commentator?
No.
Since he doesn't have Vince in his ear anymore, and he's been able to be himself, he has been absolutely fantastic. Again, I think we're all of that age where we look back at JR with rose-tinted spectacles. Mm-hmm. Because he was the commentator of our era, Michael just gets me popping a lot more, and I love Pat McAfee. I know Pat's ridiculous and says stupid stuff, but I just adore Pat McAfee.
Yeah,
you know,
they are a great combo, and you can see they really clearly enjoy working together. But you know, just the commentating that he done these two WrestleMania was brilliant. You know, he helps drive the story. He helps drive. Yep. Drive the match and your feelings and your emotions as you're going through it. And when, as that final pin went through, he's like, "Finish the story." I was just like, that's perfect. It was absolute props. Mm. Rax, what were your final thoughts?
Oh man, everything about it was just brilliant. Like literally, you guys covered it all. And honestly, like either from literally, honestly, like from Samantha Irvin to the commentators to just everyone involved, man. You had to give everyone their flowers on there, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was what you want WrestleMania to end on. You know what? Mm-hmm. It was like the perfect ending for it. And I know you guys, I mean, obviously, I wanted Stone Cold too, but I mean, just from like a WrestleMania standpoint, I guess, you know, Undertaker just popping. I mean, that's big in itself anyway. It's just an excuse for, you know, just a random cameo. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it was a great story. And it's like, I don't know if it's, I mean, this is literally the end of it, right? It's like, there's nothing else that Cody's going to do with the Bloodline story, right? So, I mean, I think
The eventual rematch with Roman.
There'll be a rematch with Roman, I think. And I mean, it'll be him and Rock. Him and Rock. I don't know if it'll be him and Rock at WrestleMania or whether it's going to be Roman and Rock at WrestleMania. Depends on how they're going to do it from a timeline point of view. But, you know, it's clear on Monday Night Raw, Rock has come out and said, I'm coming back for you. You know, you made it very, very personal.
I mean, for me personally, I see it as Roman will come back on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He will challenge Cody. He will lose against Cody again. And that is what will lead into him, his rivalry with The Rock.
The Rock will come back after that point saying, you can't get the job done.
Yeah, he'll be like, I didn't wrestle for 10 years. I came back, I beat him clean.
He made that very clear in his promo on Raw as well. It's like, you know, you beat him 1-2-3, but I beat you 1-2-3 clean. You know, you made that separation very, very clear.
But one thing I was going to say was that another reason why it needed to have been Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Rock's first main event WrestleMania was in that building against Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
I very much think it's Stone Cold. Didn't want to go, I think Stone Cold just said no.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's the only reason the Undertaker, and then Triple H was like, can you come and chokeslam The Rock for me? And chokeslam The Rock badly. It wasn't a very good chokeslam. Yeah, I was disappointed. Yeah.
The Rock's a heavy man. Yeah, he's out of practice for sure.
285. That ain't lightweight to get in the air.
No, that isn't. So, Rax, what was your score for the final match?
4.5.
All right, 4.5. Cool. In terms of the scores, so the predictions, we all had, obviously had Cody to win. We all had Pinfall. We had Mass Interference. We had, I had Cena and Stone Cold, but obviously Cena just showed up. Mm-hmm. I thought there was going to be more ordering from like The Rock with the Bloodline and navigating that, but they all just had their individual spots. Nick got a point for Rock being in the ring. So none of us else thought that he would actually be in the ring, just on the outside, but he was in the ring and... So he got a point for there. Specifically, Sammy and Jay. Nick said they would have a moment, just the two of them. So I've tried to go on specifics about what were people talking about at the time. And I kind of gave, we all kind of mentioned about anyone who was screwed over by the Bloodline would be involved. But, you know, we didn't get certain characters. We didn't get, you know, Kevin Owens. We didn't get Sami Zayn.
Sammy, you know, that surprised me.
Yeah, Sammy was a bit of a surprise.
Technically, we did, because they were all in the ring at the end.
They kind of came in at the end and did that kind of thing. But I thought they might be involved in the match in some way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There was a problem. I would like to point out that I almost got my perfect ending because I said that these wrestlers would be hoisting Cody in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
But I missed a one thing. I didn't get it, and I feel WWE cheated me.
Mm-hmm.
There should have been a picture of Dusty Rhodes at the top of the ramp and Cody there. He did everything he could have done. I planned it perfectly. I said, look, everyone will be in the ring. They're going to hoist him.
Mama Rhodes and everybody. Then
Mama Rhodes with the belt. He's going to hug and kiss his whole family. He did all of that. Where was my Dusty Rhodes picture?
Yeah. Fair enough. I will just say before I go on to the final scores, that video package that they did on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, gosh.
That got me. I cried.
Yeah.
That was some emotional stuff. That was brilliantly done. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. So, scores on the second night. We had Ryan in last place with 9.5. Then it was myself with 10.5. Mm-hmm. Then we had Rax with 12. And tied on the night, we had Neil and Nick at 12.5. So the final results are Rax with 21, Ryan with 21.5, myself and Neil with 22.5. And new predictions champion for bitching about wrestling.
Yes.
Nick with 23. Beat us by 0.5 of a point. So well done, Nick.
Do I get one of Ryan's belts now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And Neil's like, if I don't get it for the fantasy, you're not getting it for predictions.
No, Ryan's gonna have to defend it.
Yeah. He's gonna have to listen.
Never defend it. Physically.
I've been champion longer than Roman has been champion. I want one of them.
So, Alex, basically, once you see, I don't know if you saw on the podcast when Ryan was on it, his room is full of championship belts. He is.
He is
a collector, so he has many. And
I have looked at belts many times, and I just see the price and wince, and it's more the case that my wife would murder me.
Yeah, Ryan sees it and clicks buy now. So yeah. He actually sent us a picture of him and his newborn when they were watching WrestleMania, and he had the belt wrapped around his newborn. That was a beautiful bit. So
that's really cute.
And Nick, his daughter finished the story, even going to A&E. She came back to finish the story. So much drama.
Like a true drama. Yeah. There's blood everywhere.
Amazing. Just a couple more points we'll talk about with Raw. The Rock came out, stare down with Cody. And there was a couple of bits which at the time I didn't quite get, and Alex and I actually messaged about this just early on this evening, was the whole "can I see your title" thing, and they exchanged titles, and he's like, "yeah, it feels good." That somebody posted a video of actually when The Rock revealed the new title, the WWE title, Cody back in the day before he was his AEW days came into the ring. Yeah, 2013, came into the ring and said, "can I have a look at that title? I want to see that title because that is something that I'm going to be involved in the next 10 years or so forth." Right. So it's a throwback to well over 10 years ago. And I don't remember the connection now, but somebody posted on Twitter. I was like, that is brilliant. Do you know what I mean? They're pulling stuff out of stuff that's long-term happened years ago. Yeah.
Now makes more sense. I wasn't watching during then. I missed Cody in WWE. But before all this, so yeah, I haven't seen that. So I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that makes more sense and makes it more brilliant. Even if the crowd were chanting, "This is awkward."
This is awkward. Yeah, exactly.
It was
because a lot of those fans wouldn't have been watching probably at that point either. So that's expected. When he said, "If you break my heart again," I think that's very much in relation to "you took away my WrestleMania moment with Roman." I think that's what he was, relating it to, because people have asked online, what's that about? He said he was going to step aside. Rock was going to come in, have his moment with Roman in the main event of WrestleMania. And he changed his mind. He's like, you broke my heart on that. So, and then he gave him something in his hand. He said, "you don't need to open your hand to know what this is." So from my understanding, Cody gave some Rolexes to Seth, The Rock, and Roman before WrestleMania. And Roman was wearing his on like the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. So the presumption is that that is The Rock's watch that Cody gave him, and he was handing it back to him.
Or it's the Heart of Tafiti.
I thought it was the keys to the Slim Jim car.
Or the Heart of the Ocean or something. Yeah. But yeah, so
I actually think it might be something different.
Yeah, what do you think it might be?
I think it might be something in connection to like
his dad.
Yeah.
In connection to Dusty. Because simply because Roman couldn't be the one to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Dusty Rhodes is literally like the reason we have Seth Rollins, the reason we have Roman Reigns in the positions they are in now is because as they walk through the gates of WWE, Dusty Rhodes was the one guiding them forward.
I think there's
a thing as well where there's a lot of watches going around because Triple H and Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, they bought the watch that
Dusty pawned to start his wrestling school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing stuff there. Any other things that you guys want to highlight from Raw? I mean, we didn't get obviously a big return. The things that were announced, we had a video package of Sheamus returning. So he's going to be coming back at some point. I'd love to see, Intercontinental title run with that. We had the announcement of the draft, which is going to be happening at the end of April. So we're going to get our refresh on all the brands and everything that's going to be happening there. NXT, Bron Breakker, Baron Corbin, they lost their tag team championships, which frees him up from having to be on NXT now. We expect to see him more on SmackDown. Anything else? Anybody else? Alex, what did you want to chat about?
As far as returns are concerned, I'm sad that with the Chelsea Green match, it wasn't Alexa Bliss.
Yes. I
was very much expecting it to be Alexa Bliss.
We were hoping for that.
And I was really disappointed that it was Jade Cargill, especially because she's SmackDown. So,
Not that
the brand split means anything. No.
That was kind of disappointing. Yeah.
Do we know if she is coming back? I mean, I did see a video of her back in the gym, which made me happy.
I don't know if it's a given, but I'm expecting it to. I don't think it's necessarily a given that she's going to be returning for sure. It'll be interesting to see which people they refer to in the draft, or if they just stay with whoever the brand they were originally, or they become free agents. It was interesting to hear from Triple H that saying Brock Lesnar is still technically under contract with them, and he's just on his farm being Brock Lesnar. So there's that. They haven't said.
Paul Heyman mentioned Brock Lesnar far too much in his speech.
He did
for Brock, for Brock to be ousted from the business.
That was quite something for him to mention that a couple of times. Even though he's been removed from like, all the video packages and everything like that, it's still being referenced. I don't know if Brock is still on the website, because he was under a free agent on the website, so I don't know if he's still there. Any other thoughts on Raw?
Yes, I have one. I would like to take this moment to thank R-Truth for that.
Oh, yes.
When it was like the whole Judgment Day just showing off the gold, and amazing. He just slipped in the middle, and he was just like,
yes.
I don't want to join the Judgment Day.
And the crowd is like, he's like, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And that was brilliant. And obviously, and Cena coming back for the tag.
Man, you can't see.
Yeah.
And then there was Drew McIntyre gave, quick promo, gave Seth Rollins props.
Yes, he did. Yeah, Seth Rollins props, which was really good to see.
Which is why I don't see Drew McIntyre as a heel. He says... Because everything he says is kind of true, but he does it in a bit of a dickish way. He's not, he's much more an anti. And also, I don't think anybody wants to boo him.
No.
I think everyone wants to be behind Drew McIntyre, but he's that heelish thing. But and he's also the biggest online troll, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. And he has to walk out of Clash in the Castle in Scotland. As champion, he has to walk out of Clash of the Champions as champion.
They gave him his WrestleMania moment, even if it was brief, and he got his title win in front of 72,500 people, which is insane freaking number. And then they'll give him what everyone wanted him to have at Clash of the Castle. I love the fact that they stuffed more people into the Raw arena so they couldn't have the normal screen and stuff.
I don't. Do you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't think that was a thing. I think that's just what the entrances are going to look like.
There has been talk about them dumbing the entrances down a little bit and scaling back on that. So I don't know if they're not going to have screens at all going forward. But I think they're going to go a little bit more for like the what they do with the live shows. They don't tend to have the big screens. They just have some of the backing and stuff like that. It wouldn't surprise me if they went more minimalist.
But it's a nice dig against AEW, who had 25% capacity in their event over the weekend.
Sure. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't even look at it like that, because when you think of it, this WrestleMania is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Mm-hmm. This WrestleMania, you had people who hadn't been watching wrestling for 10, 15, 20 years coming back to watch it. I mean, I was getting messages from people who just have a fleeting interest in wrestling, but know how much I love it. And they were like, yo, what's going on with The Rock?
And my friend Richard, who we went to events together you know, he stayed up and watched it both nights, and he hasn't watched, he doesn't watch it regular. Now he's like, where do I watch Rock? Where do I watch Raw? Where do I watch SmackDown? I'm just like, yeah, you have to go here and here. Like The Rock said, he has made it cool again, but obviously it's just more than The Rock. But when they've blurred the line so much between the reality and the stories, and The Rock with his social media presence, and everything is just gelling so well together. And, you know, huge props to Triple H for the way he's managing that company at the moment.
I mean, I can't wait
to see what's coming forward. Yeah,
it's been the hottest since like Attitude Era, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
There's a massive shift.
Yeah, it's a shift in mindset from people as well. I think people are more open to enjoying this again now, and, you know, being a little bit more acceptable.
And they're trying to get away from sports entertainment, aren't they?
So they are.
Yeah,
it's more about professional wrestling. They're getting a bit more edgy again, and, you know, some, you know, F bombs and some swears are coming in occasionally. And Triple H just said, you know, it's like, if it serves a story and if it's the right thing, then they're okay with having some of that. But it's just not going to be like the Attitude Era was, where it's like it becomes meaningless, you know.
Yeah, and they need Netflix documentary now.
Tomorrow.
What? Actually, no. What am I saying? Tomorrow. I think it came out today.
Oh, so there's so they were releasing the build up to WrestleMania with interviews with The Rock, Triple H, and everything like that. So they're releasing that on YouTube. So I haven't watched that yet. I've still got to watch the Bray Wyatt documentary as well. So
Actually, I have one thing I want to say. It is technically not wrestling related, but it is of enough importance that it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Happy anniversary, dude.
Oh, cheers, man. Thank you. What, you 1 year married today.
So. Oh, happy anniversary. Well then. There you go.
Yeah. Congrats. Thank you. Thank
happy
you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Right.
I'll and you're up doing this till midnight.
Yeah, well, she's not here. We haven't even spent our anniversary together, so she's away working. So I'll be jumping onto PlayStation after this, making the most of it. So this is definitely all being edited out. Right, so let me just do the wrap up. But so that was our WrestleMania XL review. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts were of the event. What matches were your favorite? What are the surprises for you? Did everything meet your expectations? Was anybody disappointed? Overall, I can't imagine you were, but if you were, let us know. Thank you very much for being involved. And as always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. You can watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube and Spotify. And the audio version of this podcast is available on any podcast platform. In future, you'll be able to search for us Bitching About Wrestling by Creative Control. That is our new name. It's a new time. It's a new era. It's a new name for Creative Control Wrestling Podcast, Bitching About Wrestling. Thank you very much, Alex, for being here. Really appreciate it. It's really great to have you on, getting to know you as well. So thank you so much for being here. Anything else you wanted to plug about your show?
No, I'm a part-time panelist on an F1 podcast called Missed Apex. So if you do like F1, go to missedapexpodcast.com, .net even, and then look after that. I've got all my socials, so I'm at Alex Van Gene on everything. It's mostly me talking about motorsport or videos of me karting. So if that's the kind of thing you're interested in, and I try and not do WWE on Twitter, because I can at least look at some form of social media without getting spoilers.
Yes, yeah, that's the tricky day. Everything has to be immediate in this day and age. Nick from That Superhero Thing podcast, talk to us.
About what? My show?
Your show? Yeah.
What are we doing this week? This week we are doing, we're Robin from Creative Control. We're casting the X-Men Marvel reboot. So we're recording tomorrow night. You're probably too late now to get your thoughts in. Neil sent me about 3 pages of a... of multiple
Neil
multiple
does versions. His homework. You ask anything from Neil, he goes hard.
I'm on the 17th draft now of his list, so I've had a few. But yeah, so we'll be talking about this week. Just literally That Superhero Thing. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, awesome. Yeah, no, and the Nick and That Superhero Thing podcast, they have a thing called Pod Fans Assemble, where they will put out polls on Twitter and Instagram, and if you make comments on any of those posts, they'll feature you and give you a shout out on the show. They're very generous to go through what I would do with what was the topic that I commented on, how to fix the MCU, and they went through all my
give it to me
We did.
But, yeah, they went through my essay of points. But yeah, if you ask Neil's opinion, yeah, be prepared. That's a segment on its own. Right, well, that's it. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for being here. Thank you very much for all viewers and listeners. And until next time, keep bitching about wrestling. Peace out.